that really moved me. It moved me so much that I thought, I want to preach on that. And it's the word, are you tired? Are you tired? Now, I have the kind of face, people are always asking me, are you tired? It's like, no, my eyes are just always half shut. That's just the way they are. And you can ask Carrie this, when we're taking an important picture, I really work to get my eyes all the way open. And she says, stop that, you don't look natural. So people ask me a lot, are you tired? But I was struck by this question, are you tired? Because sometimes we really can get tired. And there was a particular person in this church, I remember one time, this was several years ago, but they just looked at me and said, I am tired. They just had chronic, prolonged health issues, and they just said, I am tired. And as I was thinking about this too, I remember, and it was funny because I was sharing this with Ruth the other day, but I was visiting my mom. This was toward the end of my dad's life, and we were sitting in the living room, and my mom had put my dad to bed. And now my dad was a little 5'3" guy, but wiry and thin, mean sometimes. But he just was kind of a man's man. I used to love, I could still see his hand on the steering wheel, and he had like big knuckles and stuff like that. That's why I love like farmer's hands. You know, I love that. I got like little girl hands. Tommy Pierce has got the best hands in the world. He's just got like, you know, it's like, bam. You could cut two or three off and he's still good. They're just that big. And, but anyway, so my dad was a real, just kind of a powerful man in my eyes, at least, even though he's only just 5'3". But so that particular night, we're sitting there, and he comes out in his underwear and T-shirt and stands in the hallway. And my mom says, what are you doing up? Get back to bed. So she walks him back to his room, and he had taken all of the stuff off the bed, folded it into a neat pile. So she unfolded everything, made the bed, put him in it. About 25 minutes later, half hour later, he came back out, stood at the end of the hallway. She said, what are you doing? You need to go to bed. So she walked him back into his bedroom. He had all of his bedclothes, all the stuff off his bed, taken off, folded into a neat pile. So she put it all back on the bed, put him back in bed, came back out. Half hour later, the same thing happened. I think he did at least four times that night. And so I think sometimes life is such that we're just tired. You know, we can have relationship issues, maybe financial problems that just continue and continue and continue. If you're tired, I think you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, none of this might make a whole lot of sense to you. But for those who, when I say, are you tired, and that resonates with you, I think you get it. So I want to share about that today, but I want to share about this because I think it applies. So this week was a busy week. Carrie's actually starting a new job this week, and so this was going to be her off week, and we had revival, so that wasn't off. And by the way, our praise team came every night of revival. That's a big deal. I mean, it was like a break for me. I was just listening. But our praise team came and ministered and served, and so that's huge. So tell them thank you if you get a chance. But anyway, so Tuesday night, it was great services every night. So we were kind of celebrating the end of revival. Not the end of it, but you know what I mean, a good revival. And so we stayed up late. And Jeannie was going to have surgery on Wednesday, but they canceled it, so I didn't have to do that. And so we're going to start Carrie's break week Wednesday morning. And so I was going to stay in bed a little bit longer. And we had prayer meeting at 9, so I was thinking I'll show up at 9. So I'm in bed, and my phone goes off relatively early. Well, it was early for that day. Okay, so let's just say it's 8. Don't judge me. I'm just going to tell you the story. I'm just going to tell you the story, right? So it's about 8 o'clock, and my phone goes off, and I think, what? And I look at my phone, and somebody had called me 3 times. So I immediately think somebody has died or somebody is very, very sick. So I get nervous, but you know how it is when you're just kind of waking up, you kind of sound, and I've told you this before, I have my practice voice, but hello, hello. And I was so nervous, I just skipped that whole protocol and called the person. And nobody was sick. I still can't figure out why they called me three times. They had lost their phone, but I still don't understand why they called me three times. But they said this. Did I wake you up? Now, it's 8 o'clock. So in my mind, to be asleep at 8 o'clock is something to be ashamed of. Okay? Did I wake you up? Well, not really. It was the buzz of my phone that really woke me up. But, and so I'm starting this conversation feeling a little bit ashamed. He said, I just don't think. You know, I'm up with the chickens. Starts talking about how up he is, and just the conversation just kept making me feeling worse and worse, you know. And so I asked the question, are you tired? But nobody really likes to kind of admit we're tired. It's kind of something almost to be ashamed of. You know, we're supposed to be kind of with it, ready to go, always, you know, we got life, it's okay. And so I think you have to think about that this morning, because there is some great news in this message. But if you don't want to admit you're tired, then it can't really help you very much. But if you're to that place in your life where you would just say, I'm tired, I really am. So here are the words of Jesus. If you could, I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that could be very helpful, but if you would learn these three, these could really help you as you think about helping other people. But I want to read them together if we could this morning. So these are the words of Jesus. So let's read as best we can together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So those are great words, just reading them, and I just want to talk about them briefly. I just feel like if you're weary and burdened, you know what I'm talking about, and so I don't want to just stress it too much, but I just want to talk a little bit about the words of Jesus here. Who knows what that means? Hey, Siri. I've just discovered, Carrie's all the time saying, hey, Siri, add to my Walmart list. Hey, Siri this. Hey, Siri that. I got it conceptually, but I didn't get it. Well, the other day I updated my phone and it wanted me to talk to Siri. So I told Siri, hey, Siri. Do it again. Hey, Siri. Is my phone listening to me? It's probably saying, what do you want? So anyway, so my phone knows my voice. So when I say, hey, Siri, Siri comes on and talks to me. What can I do for you or whatever? Well, I've learned this incredible thing now driving that I can say, hey, Siri, send a text to Karen. What would you like to say? Blah, 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 blah. Is this what you want to say? Send. Send. And I don't have to do anything. And so it's incredible. And I just use Siri to call, text, and play music. That's all I do for Siri. That's all Siri does for me. But Siri will do all kinds of things for you. And I bring Siri up today because sometimes I think we treat God a little bit like Siri. God, I need you to send a text for me. I need you to fix this problem. Or God, I got this issue. And God is a little bit like Siri, but that's not how God is. And so I just bring Siri up to say, we need to be careful that we don't treat God like we treat Siri. If you have an Apple iPhone, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry, you can figure everything else out. So here we are. Are you tired? Here's Jesus speaking to us. He says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. So I want to talk about the word come. Now for me, these are some of the most important points of the message. But I want to say this. So if you're to this place, like I am tired, whatever it is that you're going through, I'm tired. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired, whatever it is. Think about this. When you really come to Jesus, you don't care who is looking or what you look like. It's a little bit like the phone. None of us likes to look weak. You know what I mean? I don't like anybody to say, "Did I wake you up?" Because that makes me think they think they're better than me. Bill Freeze, I used to talk to Bill Freeze, and I'd say, "Well, what time do you get up in the morning?" He'd say, 3 o'clock. I think, oh my goodness, he is the most spiritual man I've ever met in my life. Now, at 3 o'clock, he got up and talked to the cows. And I thought, how does he do it? How does he do it? How does he get up at 3? A man of discipline. And then we were chit-chatting a little bit more. Now, I'm making this story up, kind of. We were talking, and he's telling me whatever. I said, "Well, when do you go to bed?" He's like, 7:30. I'm going, no wonder you can get up at 3. You don't even stay up till 11. I don't go to bed until 12. But anyways, we don't like to look weak. When you really come to Jesus, you don't care who is looking. So here is Jesus saying, "Come to me." Now, if your thought is, "I have got to keep my dignity as I approach Jesus. I can't come from a point of weakness. I got to come from a point of strength. I just need a little help." And so if that's your idea, if you're to the place where you're saying, "I am tired," Jesus is saying, "Come to me." I mean, just come. I mean, put all your chips in my basket. But if we're coming to Jesus with this idea, "Well, I'll kind of come. I'll put a few chips in your basket. I mean, I'm not going to be all in, because what if you disappoint me?" So this issue of being tired, I'm wanting to preach on this because I'm thinking, man, I've been to that place where it's like, I am tired. And Jesus is saying, "Come to me." And we're like, "Well, I mean, I need you, but I don't know how bad I really need you. You know what I'm saying, how we do? It's just like these altars. We have these altars. We invite people to pray. Now, these aren't magical. But one thing that they can do is they can help us act on what God is saying to us. I remember preaching one time, and there was a guy about 3/4 of the way back. And I was talking about giving your heart to the Lord. This guy's name was Jim. I am not lying. 6'2", all Italian, hair everywhere, shorts, show short, half of his pocket was showing underneath of it. I am not lying. White t-shirt, cigarettes rolled up. He was Fonzie with shorts. I mean, he was just that. Big long mustache, just scare you. Guys scare you. And I'm preaching, and I could tell I was talking right to him. And I'm saying, "Come, come." And he was having this huge battle. I mean, I could see it. I could visibly see him struggling. And then I saw him stick a foot in the aisle. And after he came and prayed and we talked a little bit, he said, "When I stuck the foot in the aisle, my chains fell off." But I think for all of us sometimes, where God's saying, "Come to me," and we're worried about what we look like to people. "Well, they'll think I'm weak. They'll think I don't get up until 8. Whatever the issue is. And I'm getting a little goosebumps here, because we're like that. We're just like that. We worry about how we look to other people. So Jesus is offering us this incredible thing that we so desire, rest. But some of us are too worried about how we look. We need to get this too. Coming to Jesus is not about asking for help. It's about collapsing in his arms. Jesus, here is my life. Not, "Hey, Siri, could you do this? Hey, Jesus, could you do this? Hey, Jesus, you know I'm having this relationship problem. Can you fix this?" This, I think what Jesus is saying here when he's saying, "Come to me," he's saying, "Come to me. I am it. I am your only. Come to me like I am your only hope," because he really is. But we got to be careful. We just are always wanting to use Jesus for what he can do for us, but we don't necessarily want to come in just that kind of sense. And then lastly, When you come to Jesus, you are willing to do things His way. And again, so often we, and the DS brought this up in one of the messages. He's just like, he said, we have such great plans for ourselves. And I get that. I get that. He said, but just think how much greater our God's plans are for us. And I remember thinking, if I surrender to doing things His way, God is going to make my life awful. I mean, I grew up in the church. I saw a lot of unhappy people in the church. I felt like God was saying, hey, listen, you surrender your life to me and I'll make you just as unhappy as they are. Yippee. But that's not what God was saying. He said, listen, I'm the creator of all this. I know how it works. So even for Jesus, He's saying, are you tired? If you're tired, come to me. But when we come to Jesus, we have to be willing to say, God, I want to do my life Your way. Your way. So these are huge things. There is rest. But it isn't, again, just the hey Siri kind of rest. I'm going to have to speed it up. So Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. This sermon is not about navigating the difficult patches in your life, because we all have them. The sermon is not about navigating the difficult patches in your life. It is about the benefits of being in relationship with the one who is able to calm the sea. I tell you what, I get tired sometimes because I just see the hurt and the heartache and the difficulty everybody else is walking through. So I go to visit Jeannie. I thought she looked good. Her color seemed good. And she's talking to me. She had a mask on. But she was just a whisper. Just a whisper. It's like that's all she had. So I got my ear right down on her thing. Try to listen to her. Jesus isn't just solving our problem. We're coming to Him. It's not just about the difficulties. We have a relationship with one who is able to calm the sea. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song that said something like this: and God cares more for our hearts than the waves. So when Jesus says, be still, rest, Stephen Curtis Chapman was saying, God cares more for our hearts than the waves. But again, how is it that we're coming to Jesus? Are we saying, God, You're my only hope? You know, it's not a technique. It's not breathe through this or think this about yourself. Jesus is saying, come to me. You know, I'm a parent, and I think if my kids didn't have a sense that they could come to me, I would be crushed. But who in the world am I? One day I'm going to be wandering to the end of the hall in my underwear and t-shirt. Seriously. Who am I? But this isn't about this. Jesus is saying, come to me. I stood in a boat one day, and I spoke to the water, and they were calm. I mean, that's amazing. Jesus is saying, come to me. It's about relationship. Come to me, all you. Let me just say this about this. I've heard too many people who are going through difficult times, and they tell me this: oh, there are people that are going through so much more than me. I'm like, I don't understand your point. I don't understand your point. Their point is this: how can I go to God with my problem that's only this big, when there are people out there with problems this big? I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What in the world kind of thinking is that? It's like God's got a little purse of help that He can give out. And if too many people ask, He runs out. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. All. And it doesn't matter if you feel like your problem is this big or this big or this big. Okay, I hope somebody's listening. I mean, I'm just reading the words. So I'm not trying to explain to you something big, but I'm thinking, We do and say so many great things in the church, and I think that we do believe them. I raise my hand sometimes in church, not because I like, why, I just like, I think, God, help me to believe these words. Help me to believe them. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. It's interesting, this word weary, it's kind of the idea of, boy, you just work and work and work until you just can't work anymore. Just work and work and work until you can't do anymore. And then burden is just the idea of something that you just on you. You know, I look out at people and I think, man, aren't you weary and burdened? I would think you'd have to be. I would think you'd have to be. And so Jesus is saying, you know what? Come to me, all who kind of got it together, and I'll really polish you off. But if you're sitting there saying, and you feel like you're hearing Jesus saying, are you tired? Are you just tired? And again, if you're not there, this sermon means nothing to you. But if you are just barely hanging on, to me, these are words of hope. And hear the words of Jesus. I will give you rest. And unfortunately, I think I hear some people saying, I wish that were true. I wish that were true. It is true. But for some of us, we don't want to come that Jesus is everything. Or we don't even want to acknowledge the relationship. It's just about, God, I just need A, B, and C. I don't need you to do anything else. Don't hold my hand. Don't talk nice to me. Just give me A, B, and C, and I'm good. Can you imagine having that kind of relationship? Carrie and I are married 29 years today. We celebrated yesterday by arguing about a shelf. And I love it. I actually learned something in the argument. I mean, not argument, discussion, just kind of talking about it. I'm like, you know, do you want these things 16 inches apart or 32? That's where the studs are. Those are your options. Well, I want them here. I think that looks stupid. Just went on from there. So we went to Lowe's to figure it out. Came out with paint. Anyway. But the truth is, so often we talk to God. If we thought about our other relationships like we think about God, we wouldn't act the way we do. Carrie comes to me and wants to comfort me. Just give me your wallet. I don't need your words of comfort. I just need what you can give me to solve my problem. But that's the way we do it with God all the time. Or say, God, I need some money. And he would say, well, what'd you do with the last money I gave you? Well, I spent it. But the truth is, Jesus wants to give us rest, and I believe we can have rest. He has given me rest. And I've also been to the place where I have been desiring rest, but instead of going to him for it, I just try to figure it out on my own. It doesn't work very well. How does he give us rest? This is actually pretty good. Most of us think rest comes when our problems go away. Who in the world has no problems right now? Well, guess what? You walk out in the parking lot, you're going to find one. Brian and Susan got up this morning, neither one of their cars worked. That's what sugar in the tank will do for them. Anyway, but we just all have problems. Most of us think rest comes when our problems go away. They don't go away. At least not for long. Rest comes when we depend on the one who is ultimately dependable. You know, for us, we have family. We depend on family. But family can only do so much. How can we have rest? We cannot have rest if our hope is in the people. I mean, people are good, but people can only do so much. Rest comes when we depend on the one who is ultimately dependable. And some of us say, how do I get to that place? You know what? I think only God can bring you to that place. And often it's a time of huge crisis. Just is. You know, you can say a lot of things, but a lot of times you don't know until it really presents itself. And so I think a lot of times it's one of those things that's just a little bit like, Nadia, forgive me for calling you out, but you were sick. And I was thinking about Bake. I'm thinking of Nadia were Cameo. She's sick. She's a little sick for a little too long. Then I'm starting to panic. Are you kidding me? God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now my life has gone nowhere. It just, my mind just went to a dark place. So I started to think about Bake. I'm thinking, man, I'd be all over this. I'd be twisting myself into knots. You can't, rest doesn't come because, breathe. I mean, breathing might help. I'm sure it'll help. But we can rest when we depend on the one who is ultimately dependable. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm going to kind of read this all together again because it kind of he kind of states it, then he kind of restates it in a bigger. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. But there's something to do here. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will. So here's the truth. Your way forward is not the path of our own design or of your own design. Again, it's this idea that the DS brought up with. It's like, do you want to live your plans or do you want to live the creator of the universe's plans for you? And he compared them to shady maple being God's plans and our plans like an old crusty bologna sandwich. It's been great. I've talked to people about bologna sandwiches two or three times this week. And we grab that bologna sandwich like it really is something. So your way forward is not the path of your own design. So you think, well, if I take Jesus' yoke upon me, then and your life is going to be the best it could ever be. I just want to say this. So here's Jesus again. I'll give you rest. How? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I want to say this because this was part of my own personal experience in the church. And we kind of talked about it this week. You know, the Bible says, because God is holy, be holy. Be His, exclusively His, I think was the DS's words. But I think sometimes we try to live the life in ways that are contrary to the God of the universe. Again, if our idea of God, that He's Siri, we're all messed up. If He's just there just to kind of salve our minds when we get anxious, He's not there for more. He's not there because He's the God of the universe. He's not there because He's in relationship with us. If we can be a mess. So I want to bring out this verse that might not make a whole lot of sense to you, but hopefully it will in just a second. So here's Paul, Saul, and he's going around arresting Christians, doing whatever he can to Christians, killing them, imprisoning them. So he's going to Damascus, sees this incredible light. By the way, I'm driving into the sun the other day. I couldn't see a thing. I'm thinking, what is the creator of this like? Wow! Just a side note. We all fell face to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Isn't it hard to kick against the goats? It's like, why are you going against me? Isn't it hard? And so I want to say this, even in the church, As I've thought about this sermon, this hymn, just the maybe the title, "This Is My Father's World." And I'm thinking, if we're trying to live in our Father's world according to our own dictates and plans, we've got a problem. So here God is talking to Paul. He's saying, why are you trying to persecute me? He's talking to Jesus. Why are you trying to persecute me? And I think even for us sometimes, we want to live as Christians, but we don't want to be completely and exclusively His. And it goes back, and Bacon Naughty, I just apologize. You're just on my radar now. But it's, again, it's just this idea, oh, you go with God, and your kids are going to get sick. You're not going to have any money. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. It's just going to be terrible. And so we think, well, I love God, but why He wants to do that to me, I'm not quite sure. Why He wants to give me this great banquet. See, but we don't look at it that way. We get it completely switched around. We think God is offering us the bologna sandwich. And so I just want to say this. If there's anybody like me, and there's got to be some, if you really take your walk with the Lord serious, and He's going to look at you and say, are you all mine? Are you completely in? Are you willing to go where I say go? Are you willing to say what I say? Now, here's been my personal experience. April 17th, 1983, I got that question in a way I'd never gotten it before. And I told God, I am all in. Revolutionized my life. And I remember leaving here, and my life fell apart. I mean, it couldn't go more wrong than things were going wrong. And I remember sitting on the edge of my bed saying, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do if it makes sense, because I'm tired of looking stupid. Seems like a pretty good deal to me. All you got to do is do it my way. I mean, I'll do whatever you want, just do it my way. I couldn't get off the bed. I knew what I said wasn't right. And before I could get off the bed, I just had to say, God, whatever. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever. I'm in. So Jesus is telling Paul, why are you doing this? It's never going to work. Be all mine. Be exclusively mine. I think I'm done. I'm going to kind of wrap up. Praise team, if you could come. By the way, we got a great song we're going to sing, I think. It's about coming. And again, you don't have to come. But maybe you're tired. And you want God to do something miraculously in your life. And maybe in a way that God has never done before, He's really urging you, why don't you go up there and pray? And you're just fighting like Jim. And maybe when you stick your foot out in the aisle, God will take your chains off. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I'm passionate about this morning because I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be tired from battling you. To just fight and fight and fight. Thinking I can trust you, but not sure I can trust you. But Father, thank you for bringing me to the place. And sometimes I want to take it back. I want to do it your way, my way. So, Father, I imagine this message may have touched people in different ways. I just imagine. So maybe some of them is just they're tired. The circumstances of their life, they're just tired. They just need to collapse into your arms. And then, Father, maybe some is like me. And I hope there's somebody like me, because I just think of what happened when I jumped all in. When I said, God, if you want my life, you can have it. When I turned my bologna sandwich in for a smorgasbord. Father, help maybe that's somebody today. Father, I pray that they would hear Jesus' words in their own heart this morning. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Father, speak to our hearts. You know us, who we are personally. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to respond in the way that your Spirit is leading us. In Jesus' name we pray.